cooler there right now. I don't know if he'll tell you something about it or not. Brother Dan, you could tell them how you went there to start the church. Your whole family, I believe. Yeah. He's got six boys and one girl. By the way, they've all been in the ministry, Tremendous family. But I believe y'all went up there living in a bus and started the church. Tell us something about that, if you will, brother. Okay. God bless
you. Thank you. Appreciate it. It is a blessing to be here. I better get some of this announcements and stuff out of the way. I'll knock them off. And I'm pretty violent when I preach. Savage is a reason, though. Anyways. 1991, God called us to preach in 1989, late. And I was at a church in Kansas City, Missouri for 19 years serving there. And then the Lord called my wife and I to the state of Washington to start a church. So we just, I didn't know anything better than to get up and go. So old school, we just sold everything we had, bought an old 75 Ford bus, took all the seats out of it. I built a wall 5 foot back, put my kids in, I wanted to put them on the back part where the luggage was, but we put everything else that we didn't sell in the back and took off. Broke down in Billings, was it Billings, Brenda? Billings, Montana at 12:30 at night. That's a nice time to break down. And the Lord blessed, still got us out to Washington. So we've been out there since 1991, started the church immediately. Well, a few months later, we did have to live in a bus for a little bit, but I'm a carpenter. It looked nice. Everybody goes, you lived in the bus for a while. Man, that thing was an RV by the time I got done with it, man. The only thing it didn't have was a swimming pool. We've been serving up there, and it is nice to know our children and the Lord's work in some way. We had two sons called to preach. All of them have served as a song director or bus or in a ministry in some way, and we thank the Lord for that. And we praise the Lord for what he's done in our lives. And it was a blessing to have your pastor up. We were recommended by someone else we started Christian school 15 years ago, and we were recommended to use your folks' as curriculum. So once I got the opportunity to come down to Florida, I said, I got to meet this guy. He sounds kind of crazy like me, and he is. So I do appreciate it. They call us crazy, but we're just right. That's crazy today, but anyways, we appreciate the opportunity to be here. And when I called him, told him I was coming down, just like fellowshipping with him, but he asked me to speak, so it's his fault. Deuteronomy, if you would, please, let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. In Deuteronomy in chapter 12, it is a blessing to be in the ministry, and we try to teach our kids that the Lord's work is a blessing, it's never a curse. And so we've always tried to teach our children that. We have now, I think, 18 grandchildren, one on the way. I'm not old enough, my wife is, she looks so ancient over there. If you would, Deuteronomy chapter 12. In fact, we joke about it all the time that anybody thinks she still looks like a teenager and I'm old. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1, these are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that ye live upon the earth. Ye shall utterly destroy all the places wherein the nations which ye shall possess serve their gods, upon the high mountains, upon the hills, upon every green tree. And ye shall overthrow their altars and break their pillars and burn their groves with fire. And ye shall hew down the graven images of their gods and destroy the names of them out of that place. Ye shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall ye seek, and thither thou shalt come. Verse 12, if you would, please. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God, ye and your sons and your daughters, your manservants and your maidservants, the Levites that is within your gates, for as much as he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. Skip back to the book of Numbers 32. This will be our text. I needed to read that, and I'll put it together here in a second. Numbers in chapter 32. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle, and when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and of the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Elah and Sheban and Nebo and Meon. Aren't you glad you don't have to do those? Even the country which the Lord smote before the country of congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for possession. And listen to this, and bring us not over Jordan. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in thy house. I beg you with all my heart, all the spirit that's in me, Lord, I beg of you that this church service, this message, the songs, the enjoyment, the announcements, the offering, but especially the invitation time, may it bring honor and glory to thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Not being in my church, it's a little bit easier as well as difficult. I know my people, so it's easier for me to talk to them, you know. Your pastor has freedom and is really blessing. My wife and I have been encouraged because we've gone to many, quote, Baptist churches in our travels from time to time, and they don't preach the gospel like they used to. That's sad. Back your preacher up. When he preaches the word of God, say amen, whether you like it or not. It's the word of God. Amen. So in that area, it's a little bit more uncomfortable to preach to someone you don't know. But in the other side, I don't think I'll offend anybody because I don't know you. So I don't know how I can offend anybody unless my wife gets offended, and then I have the keys to the car, so I'm safe there anyway. But anyways, one of the things that's evident to me in the ministry, I've been in the ministry since 1980. My wife and I surrendered to the Lord there and said, whatever you have us to do, and the Lord used us. We were volunteers, you know. I don't know if I didn't get called until 89, but we were volunteers. Lord, just use us. And I believe most Christians never reach that. Most Christians, we've been in the ministry, like I said, since 1980, so we've been around enough to see what's going on, not only in our church, but in other churches. We served at Blue Ridge Baptist Temple, Brother Parker Daly, for 19 years, and we saw this over and over again, and we still think of it today. 90% of the work gets done by 10% of the people. Why is that? Can you imagine what this church would do or could do if every member was active in God's work? Can you imagine what we could do? My pastor stood up once. I was a teenager, was about ready to get married to my wife, and he made this statement. He has a question, actually. He said, how much does a church do if everybody was just like you? Yeah. Boy, that guy, I had to get the knife out of my back. I thought the pastor, because I was one of them churchgoers that just went to church. I went to every service, visitation included. I went there and sat down and listened, got up and left, but that's about as far as it went. Most Christians I know are there. I don't know you folks, so if you're not there, amen. I'm going to talk tonight, if I can, just for a few minutes, an hour or two, on border believers. I'm just glad you're not having your fellowship this week. You'd be smelling the food or remembering it, but praise the Lord. But anyway, border Christians, border believers, those people that want to just, they get to the border of Christian service and they stop. Something stops them. We don't know. In Deuteronomy, we read that God says, I want you to go over to this place. But 2.5 tribes say, we don't want to go over to that place. They didn't want to go over to the other side. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I've been in the ministry, like I said, since 1980. It's the best thing in the world. There's no thing better than being in the will of God. Amen. I mean, my wife and I have seen some ups and downs in our attendance and offerings. We went for years, like he said, living in the bus, worked a full-time job. I think it's one of the best things for new pastors is get a job in the community. Work. This, I'm not against getting support. Most of the preachers I have, they come up, we've started two churches and other than the one we're in, and I have guys that come up and want to candidate for the pastorate, and they'll go, well, what's the pay? I said, you have a building. Well, what's the pay? I don't know. It depends on how hard you're willing to work. Get silent. You know, they want a parsonage, they want a church building, they want it. Now, I don't know about you, when I started, I didn't have all those things. I had a Bible.
Amen.
And a call of God.
Right.
We're missing that today, and that's sad. But, you know, we've gone through the ups and downs, but one thing that we have noticed is doing the Lord's work is the best thing. Yeah. There's no better way to fall asleep at night knowing you're in the will of God.
Amen.
You're safe under the wings of the Almighty. Amen. I'd like to give you, if I can, please, I put them all here with the same letter to make it easy for you. But look at Deuteronomy again in verses 1 through 5. I mean Deuteronomy. I keep saying Deuteronomy. I'm sorry. Numbers 32. He says, "Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle." Listen to this. "And when they saw the land of Jazer," and we go to verse 5, it says, "This is the land, let this land be given unto thy servants for possession, and bring us not over Jordan." Now, why do people choose not to serve the Lord? Why would someone do that? Why would a born-again believer say, "Now, hold on a second, I don't want to serve the Lord"? I really don't believe Christians do that. I think what happens is Christians start thinking, there's a different way of serving the Lord. There's a different place. Listen to me. Since Jesus established the local church,
amen,
somewhere around 30 AD, not Pentecost, somewhere around 30 AD, he started the local church, the church in Jerusalem, probably called the Church of Jesus Christ, because everywhere they went, they preached Jesus Christ. But they started the church with 12 apostles and their families. Amen? And it grew to 120 when he died. Am I right? Since then, the local church is the place we're supposed to serve. Come on, amen? We're not, and there's nothing wrong with it. On the job site witnessing, praise the Lord for that. Amen? But you better be doing it to get them into church. Witness them to them, to lead them to Christ, and then get them to the pastor and call them up and say, "I led Joe to the Lord. You need to come with me. I need to get him into church."
Amen.
Amen. So we can baptize him, then teach him whatsoever things I've commanded you.
Amen.
See, that's the Great Commission. The Great Commission can only be done by the local church.
Amen.
And that's the reason why. Well, I think a lot of Christians decide, I don't want to get involved with that, or I'll get involved a little bit. Border. Right on the border. Instead of wholly following the Lord, we're going to get right on the border. The first thing is I believe that most Christians, the reason why they're border believers, is they have a desire for the world. They saw what the world had. Now, I'm not a tech guy. I'm old school. But talking to the pastor, and he's saying cell phone problems. Man, we have cell phone problems. I get a laugh at it. We sit in our fellowship hall during fellowship time. We have two teenage girls across the table from them, 3 feet, 30 inches across from each other, texting each other.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to spell text. I spell it T-E-X, but I guess there's a T on there.
Yeah.
Text. I'm just not that guy. I don't have a problem with it, but I'm going to tell you one thing. It's amazing how when I'll stand in the pulpit and say, "I want everybody today to get off Facebook for one day," I've had ladies almost pass out. I mean, they get rebellious about it. I mean, we love the world so much. I mean, we will, instead of giving $50 every week or every month to missions, we upgrade our phones. See, I don't know you folks, so if I'm stepping on your toes, I'm doing it on accident. It's sad, isn't it? I mean, it is terribly sad. I had a guy come to church. He said, "Preacher, I'd love to give to missions. I have no money." He's got cable TV. He's got high-speed internet. I said, "Well, why don't you see if you can, you know, back off on some stuff." He goes, "Oh, I couldn't get rid of that stuff." It is sad, isn't it? That the Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 2 that we're not supposed to love the world. But this is what it says, neither the things of the world. And the sad part is most Christians I know, when a preacher preaches against any of those things, you know, we can talk about sin, we can talk about love, not the world, but don't mention anything, preacher. Don't mention what they are. And that's sad. These border believers, these border tribes, these 2.5 tribes says, you know, we desire the world. The reason why most Christians don't come on Sunday night. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of churches that do not open on Sunday night anymore. We have folks visiting our church, have been the last few months, on Sunday night. And they'll go, we're from such and such a church, but they stop having Sunday night services. I said, well, maybe you'll get saved. Hear the gospel, amen? I'm just telling you, folks, it's a sad thing, isn't it? James chapter 4, verse 4 says, if you love the world, you're at enmity with God. Now, listen, I remember when I was a teenager, my youth director stood up, Arnie Smith, who's a missionary to Chile after as my youth director. But he said this, he says, whatever keeps you from serving the Lord is your God. I went, whoa, you got to be kidding me. Now, hang on a second. I was a wrestler, and I enjoyed wrestling, and I ran cross country because I was trying to get in shape for wrestling, and I did that 1 year and says, you know, there's a better way to get in shape. 20 miles a day, there's a better way of getting in shape. So we did something else the next year. But I love sports. I'm a football nut. If my wife will go in there after church services when football season's on, and I'll be have the TV on and be asleep. And she'd turn it off and say, what'd you do that for? Well, you were asleep. I said, yeah, but that noise just sounds cool. You know, hear them guys crunching against each other. I enjoyed it. But you know what? At that time, when I was a teenager, sports would get me out of church. I've had people in our church. We had some folks that had a business, and they stopped coming to church and started going to another church. And so I went by and asked them why, and they said, well, we're tired of your opinions, giving your opinions from the pulpit. Can you believe this, Pastor? They told me that me preaching that you should come to church all the time and should tithe and should witness and should go out soul winning is my opinion.
Right.
She said, the lady and the husband says, the church we go to now, he doesn't teach on those opinions.
Right.
It means he doesn't preach the word. But you know what? It was because I was telling them they need to adjust their schedule. When they first got saved, got in the church, we baptized them. They got in the church. They had so much that was too much rubbish that they couldn't come to church all the time. And they didn't want to adjust their schedule because he was a shotgun champion and shooting shot skeet, and he didn't want to quit doing that on Sunday. Isn't that sad? What's sad, he's a border believer. Let's be careful that we desire the world. Number two, if you would please, look at verse 6. He says, and Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war and ye sit here? They talk about, you know, like I said, I like football. They said they wanted to describe football, and they said it looks like there's 22 people out there that are desperately in need of rest. Why 70,000 that are in desperately need of exercise? Watch. Amen. I mean, it's sad to me when I see people working and someone sitting. How many of you, by uplifted hand, that annoys? Only half of you, the other half must be the one sitting. Doesn't bother me a bit, preacher. We have a young lady in our church. She's mentally ill. Her mother had died of an overdose when she was given birth, so she has some problems. And you know, we joke around with her from time to time. One time she came on a work day, and we're repairing a tent for a tent revival. All the ladies are sewing. The guys are out there washing it and putting it up and everything, and she's just sitting there yakking. So I went up to her and I said, Maria, her name's Maria. And I said, Maria, are you here to work or are you here to watch? She said, to watch. I said, go home.
Yeah.
She went, what? If you're just going to watch, you go home. We have people that want to work. And she started laughing. Oh, preacher, you always give me a hard time. I said, that's not what I'm doing, but yeah. And she said, okay, what can I do? Amen. But you know, a lot of people are content just to sit and let someone else work. The next one is they deserted the work. These people had work, and they decided to stop. Man, when you read over and over again in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and 2 Timothy chapter 2, man, we ought to endure hardness as a good soldier, amen? We ought to be involved with the work and not let the affairs of this world keep us from it. And we ought to be ones that desire it. And you go, if you would, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul, boy, truly a worker for the Lord. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 10 with me, if you would, please. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. The Bible says, way back in your Bible, right before Titus, he says this in verse 10 of 2 Timothy 4, for Demas hath forsaken me having loved this present world and is departed unto Thessalonica, Grecians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke was with me. Wow. Look down if you would in verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. You got to ask yourself, am I working for Jesus? Because if you're not working for Jesus, you're not doing what he wants you to do. You know, I come from a Catholic background. And for 12 years, I tried to work my way to heaven. Yeah. Boy, it wore me out. Man, the verse that got me is those are heavy laden. Amen? You know, if you're weary, you're heavy laden, come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden. That's the verse that got me because that's what I was. I was heavy laden. Every time I think I was on my way to heaven, some priest or nun would tell me I'm on way to hell. Or purgatory is what they call it, which they don't believe too many people go to hell. But that's the teachings today in a lot of Baptist churches too. That's sad. But I'm going to tell you, folks, that concerned me. But when I got saved, I found out where, listen to me, I found where works fits. We're saved by grace. Through faith, it is a gift of God, not a man, lest any man should boast. Amen? For we were created unto him, regenerated, given new birth unto him for his workmanship. Right. We're not supposed to be sitting on our blessed assurance. You know, some of you, when it says, I shall not be moved, that's your life theme. Hey, they deserve the work. We should be working. When we get saved, God saved us to serve. Find a place in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as well as Romans 12. God makes a list through the apostle Paul of the gifts that he has given to you, the talents, the abilities as a believer. And our family, we enjoyed singing. I enjoyed the singing here today. Thank you for that song, Brother Cruz. I'm not eating rice, though, but thank you for the song. It's between him and I do know one person now. You're in trouble. But anyways, good song. Praise the Lord for that. My wife and I, we enjoy singing. It's one of the things that brought us together. She played the piano and sang, and I sing and try to play the radio if it's plugged in right. And we have a good singing, enjoyment of singing, and we enjoy it very much. And we've trained our kids, but our kids grew up with the singing voices, man, since they were little kids. We had a quartet going at one time. We enjoyed it. Then they got married and moved out. But every one of them, I told them, I don't care what you do. There's something in the church you need to do. God didn't save you just to sit. Like I said, can you imagine what this church would do if anybody get off the border and get into the land? Get busy for the Lord. They deserted the work. Let's see another one. Verse 7, if you would, please, back to our text. I should have asked you to keep a marker there. Chapter 7 of Numbers 32. The Bible says in chapter 7 of Numbers 32, and wherefore, here it is, discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them. They discourage the workers. You got to remember, this has happened before. Yeah. Remember way back over there in Exodus when they sent out 12 spies. And 10 of them came back and says, no, it's not going. Now, they were supposed to go. And the Lord, like Caleb said, God told us to give us this land. Let's go. Right. And they spent 40 years wandering in a circle. Amen. Just spinning around until 600,000 people died. Yeah. Right. Can you imagine being the last guy that died? Okay, it's time to go in now. And here they are waiting to go in. They're standing right by the border, and these people say, we don't want to go. Yeah. Start all over again. Man, I'm sure Joshua's thinking, oh, no, not another 40 years. Right. Yeah. Wonder how many churches are held back because God's people don't serve. My wife and I have seen something. You know, listen to me. You know what pastors want. They would love to have ability, but availability is better. I have said, I was in sports many times. We'd go out there, and when I first started playing football, I was picked last because I was small. After they saw me play a couple times, I was choosing people because I was a nut. I was one of them crazy guys. You ever see those crazy guys that hit anything? You have the ball, you're getting hit. Amen. That's the way I was. I was a crazy nut. I put all 145 pounds in a spot about that big. I hurt people. And I was a torpedo, man. I'd run fast and hit him as hard as I could and hurt myself. One time I hit a guy so hard it bloodied my teeth and my lips and cut my tongue. And he goes, "You're bleeding." I said, "So I stumped you." That's how dumb I was. No helmet or anything, didn't matter. You know, that's how I was. Well, I started picking guys. You know what I started picking guys are? The guys that had that kind of look in their eye. Kill. Now, we need Christians like that. I know we're living in a mamby-pamby, wussified nation now. But I sure would like to see someone with them crazy eyes again. You know, I want to see some. I want to win someone to Jesus. I remember when I first got saved, went out in visitation. He said, "Now we're going to go see if we can win people to Christ." The car didn't even stop, and I'm jumped out of it. Ran up to the ward, knocked on the door. A guy answered, says, "Hey, I'm Dan. Are you saved?" I've learned a few tactical moves now, but my youth director's coming. "Man, you're crazy." Well, we need more crazy Christians like that.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, we need more people willing to just go up and see if we can win someone to Jesus. Go up and do something. They discourage the workers. We find this. Not only the desire of the world, they deserted the work. They discourage the workers. You remember in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, the Lord says He gave some apostles and He's prophets and teachers. Amen? And evangelists and for the church. Why? For the edifying of the body. We're supposed to edify the body.
Amen.
Not discourage it. I don't know about you. Ask yourself tonight. I don't know you, but ask yourself, am I a discouragement to the preacher, or am I like Mark, profitable for the ministry?
Amen.
Now, Mark was a discouragement at one time.
Right.
In fact, Paul said, I don't want to go. I don't want to take Mark with me.
Right.
But Barnabas took him.
Amen.
And Barnabas trained him and mothered him, if you wanted to call him. And at the end, Paul says, bring Mark with me because he's profitable to the ministry. Think about this. Praise the Lord. I believe with all my heart, you folks, it's obvious you love the Lord. You're here tonight.
Amen.
But you got to ask yourself, am I a discouragement to the workers or am I a blessing?
That's good.
When I come to church, am I a blessing to folks?
Amen.
Or am I a discouragement to them? In 3 John chapter 9, it talks about these. 3 John verse 9. The only chapter in 3 John, they talk about three guys, Gaius, Demetrius, and I get the right name. I'm going to get the right name here. It's one of them names that you got to look at to pronounce. Amen? Diotrephus, I think it is. Okay. Diotrephus. You know, the one that had to have preeminence, he discouraged the work. He hindered the work. You know, here's what it is. In our church, we have three sections. You folks have a few more. And sometimes we don't have as many people, so I'll say, can we all move to the middle and help the usher as well as pastor? See, the bad part about this auditorium is I don't have anywhere to point. Preachers say, you know, some people, you can't do that here. I'm pointing at somebody. In our church, sometimes we have some pews empty, so I say, I get away with it. Amen? But you know what? You can see the people that are just, they'll sit in their spot. I ain't moving. You're kidding me.
Right.
You can't get up and move to the center. You can't cooperate.
Right.
Oh, me? Don't discourage workers. Border believers, they discourage the workers. And we got to be careful with that. Especially, folks, we're in the end times.
Right.
And the devil has enough things that can discourage a preacher. Prices going up, man, legalities, legalities, legalities. You want to build or you want to add on, you want to do anything? I'm going to tell you, you can't even pour water on the ground in the state of Washington without a permit. It's just amazing. And I get in enough trouble with me because I'll just build and they'll come. I found out it's easier to get an apology than get permission. Forgiveness, I think they call it. Numbers, go back to Numbers 32. Let's see another one, if you would, please. If you might be already there. I don't want to spend too long on this, but look at verse 15, if you would, please. Numbers chapter 32, verse 15. For if you turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all his people. So here again, Joshua is saying, now hold on a second. You remember this happened before and you turned out of the way, and now you're going to turn away from again. Don't do that, because we may go back into the wilderness. I don't want to do that. Right. And many times, your pastor will tell you there's some times he thought it was in the wilderness here at the church. Yeah. They call them plateaus. Yeah. No one wants a plateau. Plateau means you're not going anywhere. And a lot of times they feel like, here's the next one. They distracted the way. They distracted. There was a way God had planned. Remember, he had a plan. Okay, after 40 years. Now, it's a bad plan for the children of Israel. They had to go through 40 years of wandering. But after 40 years, you're going to cross over the Jordan. You're going to go in the land. Yeah. And you're going to possess it. That's the plan. Right. I like what the pastor said. Samson had a plan. God had a plan for his life. God has a plan for your life. Amen. Have you gotten off of it? Have you got distracted? You know, one of the things that's hard as a pastor is you can get distracted. Back in 1998, we had some things going up in the mid-90s and late 90s in the state of Washington over the colleges. Oh, man, it was a mess. And me and another buddy got together, and we started praying about it, and we got a little distracted for a couple weeks. And that finally, at one time, I said, whoa, this is wrong. Our job is to start churches. Our job is not to fight over colleges.
Yeah, right.
It's to start churches. And listen to me. Praise the Lord, your church has a college, but it's a church college.
Right.
Churches start churches.
Yeah, right.
About the creation. When God created things, he created and produced themselves.
Right.
And if we really believe in the God of the creation, churches start churches.
Right.
Pastors really don't start churches, and neither do colleges. Churches start churches. Just like dogs make dogs, human makes humans. Well, some people, I don't know. But he says, if you turn away from them, you remember what he said in the book of Psalm in chapter 119, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a path. Amen? A lamp and a path. Listen, he's given us a way. Jesus is the only way to know the salvation, but his plan is the only way. We need to keep that in mind. In the book of John chapter 6, remember when he preached the message that the Catholics seemed to grab a hold of, and that's why they have transubstantiation? For you to don't know what that means, neither did I. Until I became a pastor, I knew the practice. The practice was in their mass that the bread and the wine would actually become the body and the blood of Jesus. And that they were sacrificing Jesus. Every time a Catholic priest has mass, they're re-sacrificing Jesus to take care of your sins. My Bible says that makes him an open shame. That's shame to our Lord. But they take that in John chapter 6 and said, that's what he meant. And he goes, no, not like manna, not physical. This is a spiritual thing I'm talking about. They missed that part. But so did some apostles. So did some preachers, some disciples. And they left. And they quit. I don't know how many. There were 70 at one time, plus of 12 apostles, and they ended up with just the 12 apostles. So I'm guessing 70 preachers quit the ministry. What a sermon, preacher. One sermon and 70 of your servants leave. And so what do you do? Turn to the 12 and says, will ye go away also?
Yeah.
How many Christians, because the pastor didn't shake their hand one Sunday, said something? It's amazing how people grab something.
Yes.
I was talking to Brother Paul Schwenke one time when he preached a message. I'm back at the back. I said, what a great message. He goes, you know, I preached the same message at the revival meeting just last week. He said, we saw hundreds of people come to the altars. I think he said he had about 20 people that got saved, had some people that got called to the ministry, some young men that got called to the pastorate. He said, people getting rededicated, people joined the church, had a great revival. And he preached that same message at the end of the service. And he's back in the back with a preacher. And preacher comes back while the other a staff member was praying. And he says, good message, Brother Schranke. But he says, it's street of gold, not streets. And Paul Schwenke says, you mean to tell me that's all you got out of the message? I mean, I could preach anything, but if I mention your sin, all of a sudden you shut off. Isn't that sad? We get distracted from the way. The Bible talks about the seeds that are planted and the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. We were talking about this just last Sunday. I was preaching a message, and one of the topics was about colleges. And man, I'm going to tell you, folks, we sending our kids to secular colleges downright stupid. I don't know. We've not had one youth go to a secular college and come back to church.
Right.
They're not in the Lord's work anymore. They're not. Some of them don't even claim to be saved anymore.
Right.
The deceitfulness, and all of them say, well, we wanted a better paying job.
Yeah.
And it's funny. Most of them are working at McDonald's after their college. Better paying job. One of them dropped out of UW, University of Washington, dropped out his senior year in the last semester. And if you know how much that costs, that's expensive. He's working for Toys for Us as a stock man.
Yeah.
Can't get him back in church. We get distracted. Let's be careful that we don't get distracted. Amen? Amen. I believe in voting right.
Amen.
But our mission is not to change the government. Our mission is to win souls and start churches. Just don't get distracted out of the way. There's a lot of people, and we have some folks in our church, they got a little upset with me. They'll give $30,000, $40,000 for the Republican Party and zero for missions. Messed up. I don't know about you, but the Republican Party is not going to save America. I'm a Christocrat. I'm not Republican or Democrat, I'm a Christocrat. I'll ask Christ who to vote for. Of course, he doesn't ever vote Democrat. So. Chapter 32. Look at verse 19. For we will not, listen to this. I hope you get this. This jumped out of me when I was reading my Bible right before I preached this back in July. He says, for we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward. You remember in the Sermon on the Mount when the Lord's talking about how to pray, how to give alms, and how to fast? You remember that? And every time he'd say, and there's their reward. You know, that's sad, isn't it? And here it is. They were discontented with the wealth, the reward that God wanted to give them. I really believe this all my wife was talking to one of our members the other day, and they called them and said, we missed you. And they said, well, we're really happy. We really believe God's blessing us. She says, how proud are you to believe that what you have is what God told you he wanted you to have? If you're not serving the Lord and you feel you're being blessed, that's sad. I can't find it in Scripture. Now, listen to me. Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh got their inheritance. They defeated their people. But on the wrong side of Jordan, where God didn't want them. And you find out later in that land, apostasy came, idolatry came, and those 2.5 tribes were the first ones to fall into it. Because they were on the wrong side of the river. God has for you and I some blessings. You know what they are? Godliness with contentment.
Amen.
You know what is sad today? That we will see somebody. We will vote for elders. Praise the Lord. I don't think you folks have elders. You have older people in here, but you don't have elders.
Right.
We've been in churches where they have elder boards. And so I asked one of the pastors once about it. It says, what qualifies you as an elder? He said, a prominent man in the community. What does prominent mean? Wealthy. They are all wealthy men with big pocketbooks. Not very much came out of it, but big pocketbooks. And I went, wow, that makes you prominent. You're wealthy. How about popularity? Prominent. They're popular. They're popular. People know them. Man, how many of you teenagers wanted to be popular in school? You wanted anybody to know who you were. You know, after a while, you wish no one knew who you were.
Right.
You know the cost it is to be popular? You have to compromise.
Right.
I remember years ago, I was, like I said, I was one of them border Christians, and I'm sitting there, and my youth director said that. I went to school one day, and I wanted to dress like them. Back then, they had bell bottoms. You know, they're coming back in. I hated them things. I was a worker and I was a farm boy, and them bell bottoms just looked stupid. But I had to try it. So I put them bell bottoms on, them platform shoes. You remember them stupid things? And one of them silk shirts, you know, like John Travolta. I looked like I was staying alive, man. And I put that on, and we were in a school of over 1,500 kids, and I walked down the hallway, walked back to my second hour class, and no one said a word. I went down the locker room and changed back into my normal clothes. I said, if that's what it takes to be popular, no one notices you, I'm just going to stay who I are. As Paul said, I am what I am. And listen, all I'm trying to say is this. I mean, says sometimes we're discontented with what God has to offer. You mean to tell me I'm going to work hard and you're going to give me godliness and contentment? I don't get riches. If I tithe, preacher, he's going to give me more money? I'll tithe. Well, what happens if he doesn't give you more money? Stop tithing? I'm going to give to missions because if I do, God will supply all my needs. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19. What happens if all your needs is not money?
Right.
That, you know, what are we doing? You know, remember when, guys, some of you remember the 8-inch black and white, 13-inch black and white, 19-inch color. You remember them?
Yeah.
Now we're going backwards.
Yeah.
We are dumb as consumers, aren't we?
Yeah.
We've got to have the new thing. Now they're going to put it on a watch. I'm going to watch a football game on my watch? I like that 7-foot screen. Amen? But I'm just telling you, folks, come on, let's be honest. I'm blessed because God got a 7-foot screen.
Yeah, right.
I'm ungodly, but I got a 7-foot screen. God's blessing me. See, the world sits here, doesn't it? The world sits here and says, hang on a second. The Lord's holding back on you.
Yeah.
And then what he said to Balak and Balaam, amen? Balak and Balaam, you remember that story? Oh, the Lord doesn't want you to have. And that's what he said to Eve at the very beginning, didn't he, Satan?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Lord's holding back on you. Right. No, we're only promised godliness and contentment, amen?
Yeah.
Why? Because our treasures are laid up.
Amen.
And see, sometimes we don't want it laid up on the other side.
Right.
We want it now. Yeah. These guys were discontent. I don't want it later, Lord. Give it to me. He said, okay, I'll give it to you. And didn't he?
Yeah.
He gave it to you. Now, you found out in Deuteronomy, They were supposed to remember that your inheritance for the whole children of Israel is on the other side of Jordan. And here's Reuben and Gad going, well, hold on a second. You mean what we got is not what we were supposed to have? Yes, it's true. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, turn there if you would, please. Keep a marker here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Again, this is a church setting, so we know that works are done in the church. Come on, amen?
Amen.
Unto the church, it says in chapter 1. But it says here, excuse me, he says, so let's start in verse 7. So then neither he that planteth is anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Amen? Skip down, if you would, please. We know the foundation in verse 11 is Jesus. We've got to be careful how we build upon it. And listen to this. Now, if any man, verse 12, build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Would you agree with me? Gold, silver, precious stones in the scriptures was always seen as a spiritual reward. Would you say that? And wood, hay, and stubble was always an earthly reward. Now, listen to me very careful. This is the Lord saying that you and I work, and sometimes we work for the wrong things.
Right.
Amen? Come on. Let's keep reading here, if you would, please. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, I was a pyro when I was a kid.
Yeah.
My dad was a fireman. I figured he put it out. I wanted to give him some work at home. I used to put anything on fire. Finally, he said, you know what? You're burning up the property. Here's a magnifying glass. Man, when you're 8 years old and you got a magnifying glass, it's neat what you can burn with a magnifying glass. I'd burn my sister's back of her neck. Boy, no wonder she hates me to this day. No, she don't hate me. But anyways, he says, here, I want you to go out and I want you to kill bagworms. We had them bagworms in the state of Missouri. And I'd sit there, and them worms, help me, help me. I loved it. It's an 8-year-old boy killing something, amen? It was cool. And I remember that. But you know what I found out? Gold, silver, and precious stones don't burn up. The only thing that burns on them is the dross of this earth, the wood, the hay, and the stubble that gets on it.
Amen.
So listen to me. What I'm trying to tell you this, I don't know how old your preacher is. The church does, and they haven't, the choir, and they haven't told me. But I do know this. If he lives to 100 like this young lady was here this morning,
Amen.
That's, and he started serving when he was a teenager. So we're talking 90-something years, 85, 90-something years that he served the Lord. Here on this earth, treasures laid in heaven is a lot better than serving in the millennial kingdom because you did not serve while you were here. The millennial kingdom is 1,000 years. Treasures up in heaven. I said this before. Did you realize in the book of Malachi, it talks about a separation in heaven that most people don't know, those that serve the Lord and those that did not.
Right.
Praise the Lord, you're in heaven.
Amen?
Amen? Yes, but the Bible says here, keep reading, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Wood, hay, and stubble is what the world has to offer. Gold, silver, and precious stones are the things God has to offer.
Amen.
One of these days, Jesus is going to come. The Bible says that in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 12. And with him will be his reward.
Yeah.
To give to every man according to his work. Did you realize he will give you wood, hay, and stubble if that's what you want?
Right.
He'll give you popularity. He'll give you money. But it'll burn up. My wife reminded me, the first message that we heard from your pastor, we came here a few years ago, the first message was on global warming. And I thought, that's cool. It's also in Isaiah, but that's pretty cool. In the book of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 3. And you know what? It's a fact. Everything that is not godly will burn up. If you would, please, look at verse 32. Go back to our text. I got to hurry. It's almost to the two-hour mark. And I got Deuteronomy chapter 32, and appreciate the patience. Look at verse 38. We'll be done in a minute here or two. And Nebo and Balaam, their names, listen to this, and Nebo and Baal-Meon, their names being changed in Shibma, and gave other names unto the cities which they builded. And the children of Machar, the son of Manasseh, went to Gilead and took it and dispossessed the Amorite which was in it. And Moses gave Gilead and Machar, the son of Manasseh, and he dwelt therein. And Jair, the son of Manasseh, went and took the small towns thereof and called them Hovoth-Jair. And Noba went and took Kenath and their villages thereof and called it Noba. Listen to this. After his own name. You know what happens when we start being a border believer and we go through these things? We desire the work. Desire the world, desert the work. We discourage worker and we're discontented with his wealth. As we start deflecting the worth, we just start direct deflecting the glory. We start bragging about what we're doing. These guys, God gave them the land, and instead of calling it after something that God would want them to call it, they called it after their own names.
Yeah.
We give ourselves glory. The Bible says that in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that if we're going to glory, we need to glory in the Lord. I still get a kick out of that in James chapter 4 when it's talking about go to ye that say today or tomorrow this will do this or that. Man, how can we do that? We can't boast on tomorrow. My wife and I is here on vacation. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. She goes, what are we going to do tomorrow? I've had people ask me, what are you going to do? What did you have planned? I'm going to come down and rest. I'm going to do some LSD, loafing, sleeping, and doing nothing. I want to just relax. But who knows? The Lord may put something in our path. Amen? That Lord may put someone that we need. We're ready to witness to someone. We have already talked to people about the Lord or about church. And so, amen? Well, that may be. I may end up like this young man I heard about this morning. May not wake up tomorrow. Whatever may be, it's in the Lord's hands. But it's sad that we give ourselves the pride. We pride ourselves. The Lord says we need to deny self, not lift up self. And yet we pride ourselves. Isn't that sad? And we start deflecting the glory.
The other day
the Lord. I've had people come up after the service, not very often. My folks are very complimentary in the services, amen, like you folks do, or oh me. I had someone, a visitor, say, what's oh me? I says, did it hurt? Yeah, oh me. I've had a few folks over the years say, good message, Pastor. And pastors like to hear it too. Come on. Yes. Preachers like to. Sunday school teachers like to hear, good job. Teachers like an apple on the desk that hasn't got a bite out of it. I mean, we like, everybody likes to be patted on the back, but we got to be careful.
Right, absolutely.
And say, by the grace of God, praise the Lord. I've had people say, I will never do. Boy, you better be careful.
Amen.
By the grace of God, I won't. By the grace of God, we'll still be serving the Lord when He comes again.
Amen.
It's the Lord. We got to be careful deflecting the worth of the glory to us. Last one, if you would please, Joshua in chapter 22. Joshua chapter 22. I'm going to read a couple verse here, and then we'll skip over down a little bit. Joshua chapter 22. We're going to start reading verse 10. I'm just going to skip through this, if you would, with me. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan, that are in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and half tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. Verse 16, thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that ye have committed against the God of Israel to turn away this day from following the Lord, in that ye have builded you an altar that ye might rebel this day against the Lord? Is the iniquity of Peor too little for us, from which we are not yet, are not cleansed until this day, although there was a plague in the congregation of the Lord? But that ye must turn away this day from following the Lord, and it will be, seeing rebel today against the Lord, tomorrow he will be wroth with the whole congregation of Israel. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over unto the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us, but rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us, and build in you an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan the son of Zerah commit a trespass and a cursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man perished not alone in his iniquity. Verse 25, if you would please. For the Lord hath made Jordan a border between us and you. This is what Gad and Reuben said. And between us and you, and ye children of Reuben, children of Gad, ye have no part in the Lord. So shall your children make our children cease from fearing the Lord. Now, they're fearful, the children of Reuben. They say that we built the altar on the other side of Jordan, so your children won't say this, that the Lord put a border. First of all, the Lord didn't put a border. Reuben and Gad and Manasseh did. They made Jordan a border.
Amen.
You know, the only good thing about Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh doing what they did gives preachers the opportunity to preach about border believers.
Yeah.
That's the only good thing. We have an example in the Bible of people that did not cross over, that did not go and say, I want to wholly follow the Lord. There always seems to be a hesitant, something that hinders them from following the Lord. Here's the last one. They divided the worship. Now, I don't know about your pastor. I do know about your pastor enough to know this. I believe with all my heart the pastor would wish that every member was in church here tonight. And not only every member is in the church here tonight, that each and every one of you was with one heart, one mind, and one spirit.
Amen.
That each and every one of you here tonight would be saying, preacher, we're behind you 100%.
Yep.
You know what happens when that happens? God starts moving. I don't know about you. I am yearning for the day when I see God move in our church. I don't know about you. You know, we sing the song, Showers of Blessings. Mercy drops around us. We saw two folks get saved recently, two ladies, a mom and a daughter, get saved recently. We baptized them. When we first met them, the daughter hated God. The mother didn't even believe in God. And a few months later, they're saved and baptized members of the church.
Amen.
Mercy drops around us are falling. We live in a community where thousands are unsaved. We're sitting. We have people in our congregation that are border believers in my own church. It drives me crazy. Why? Oh, preacher, you're too strong on that doctrine. Oh, preacher, you shouldn't use other churches as examples. My Bible says if they sin openly, rebuke them openly. And first of all, I'm not against other churches. I'm against their preachers. The shepherd's the one that needs to be horsewhipped, not the members. And there's churches out there that are wrong. Come on, amen? What I'm trying to say is I'd love to see every member in church. We almost had it. One Sunday, we only had two gone. Of course, we're only running about 70-something, so a little easier to do. We have a small community. But I'm going to tell you, folks, we have 35 churches in our community of about 6,000. Crazy. The least attended per capita in the United States is the state of Washington of church. But the most churches per capita. Isn't that crazy? Yeah. We have more churches than any other place per capita, but we don't go to them. There's just a symbol up there to go travel to. We have people that just travel from one church to another. No, we're supposed to be one. Yeah. And wasn't that his prayer? I want them to be one as you and I are. But what happens is they divided the worship and now they can't be one. Now there's two altars. There's two altars. I find in the book of Acts, I find in the book of Hebrews, I find in the book of 1 Corinthians that the Lord wants us in His place, that one place. Listen, an altar in your backyard is not the Lord's house. A fishing boat named Visitation is not the Lord's house. Amen? Now, I don't know what sport team, but we're 2 hours from Seattle, so some Sundays, some of our members are not in church because they're going to watch the Seahawks play. Yeah. That's sad. Yeah. What? They're dividing the worship. We've had people say, well, preacher, I was praying at home for you. Well, you should have been in church. See, again, I don't believe that the true believer would exempt themselves from serving the Lord on the basis of God and His character. But I do believe that some just don't want to follow God's man in God's house at God's time. It's not the Lord you're upset with, it's His ways. And so we just decide, you know what, I'm content on the other side of God's blessings. I know your pastor. I saw it in the bulletin, but I also know your pastor enough to know he's got a pastor's heart. I'm not just concerned about me. I'm not one of them pastors that believes, well, I'll take care of myself. I do believe that I have to give an account of myself. But I don't want my members at Cornerstone Baptist Temple, Squim, Washington, come through at this Christian judgment seat and suffer loss. I want them to have a full reward. And I believe your pastor's the same way. I believe he wants each and every one of you to have a full reward. You can't have it if you're satisfied with wood, hay, and stubble. The Lord will give it to you if you want it, but He'd rather give you